It's Wednesday, November 9th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
This is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world.
Okay. Get a little hand jivey over here.
I am. Today is November the 9th.
Is it?
It is. Today is my sister's birthday, so happy birthday to my sister.
Oh, congratulations.
By the way, she doesn't listen to this, and this is the night before, but we're throwing her a surprise party for tomorrow, if you wanted to come.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I forgot to tell you.
Wait, what time?
Same time, okay. As usual.
Okay.
But now you know. Anyways, on to more pressing matters. This week, ladies and gentlemen, we have a review for you.
Sweet.
It's a bit of a weird one. It's a bit out there.
You say it's a bit strange?
I would. Quite, but not strange enough that it wouldn't be in a movie theater, because it was
the review of the magic bullet I just bought.
For my mom just bought. Unfortunately, it is not what you all are thinking. The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. No, it is Mr. Doctor Strange.
Mr. Doctor. Hello, Mr. Doctor.
Yes, and then we got our picks, we got our weeks. Unfortunately, no Kamen Rider X8 Episode 6 because our source did not pull through this week.
Aw, man.
So,
it's okay, source. We believe in you.
Yeah.
You'll get up eventually.
Yeah, one time. Okay. This is twice now. So this is twice we've been left behind.
Listen, we're only 6 episodes in.
But this is setting a precedent that I do not like. 6 episodes of 50. This is our second delay. That's a 30% hit rate.
True facts.
I'm not into that.
True facts.
Anyways, Doctor Strange, let's give him the quick hit. Doctor Strange, the first magic Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, stars Benedict Cumberbatch and other fantastic characters and whatnot.
Who's the girl?
My favorite.
I don't remember.
Rachel McAdams.
Oh, okay.
Rachel McAdams. Right. Also, Le Chiffre is in this movie.
Le Chiffre. Yeah, he is in this movie. I saw him, and I turned to TJ, and yeah. I'm like, "Hey, is that the guy from James Bond?" And he's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay."
Your eye is bleeding. Other people too. There's not really much. I don't know how I would sum this up. I mean, it's a Marvel movie. Shit goes down. Doctor Strange needs to fix it.
So. I'll save my complaint, but yeah, Doctor Strange is strictly magic. He is cosmos level superhero.
Totes, magotes. Anthony, without spoiling, what did you think of this movie?
I thought that it was I'm waiting for the Marvel movie where I can definitively say it's bad.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of tired of being like, man, this movie's great.
Okay.
Because it is great. They do a lot of cool stuff. But there was a certain part of Doctor Strange that I was very disappointed with. Which is...
I have multiple parts.
Yeah, I have multiple parts. But my main thing was that the story of the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be... Or the origin story, so to
mm-hmm.
say. This can be maybe Marvel's fault, like back in the comics. I don't know if they changed the origin story for the movie or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed pretty faithful. But it's... Here is a rich, all-powerful dude who in the normal world is totally baller. Right, he's got the skills to pay the bills, and he's the best at what he does.
Yeah.
And then insert accident that knocks him down a peg.
Yeah.
To then make him only realize his past mistakes to then make him greater than he already was.
Mm.
Right? And so this happens with Iron Man, this happens with Doctor Strange, this happens with a myriad of other people.
Sure.
Right? And so I'm kind of getting... tired of that kind of template for the Marvel superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually the only time I've ever noticed it. But I think this is the only time I've ever noticed it because this is the only time I've gone into a Marvel movie already knowing the origin story behind a character. So when I first saw Iron Man, I knew nothing about Iron Man. When I first saw Captain America, I knew nothing about Captain America.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is the only one where I came in where I was like, oh, I've already watched something on the origin of Doctor Strange. And so I know it.
Interesting.
So I wonder if that made me focus on more meta things rather than just the story itself.
I was going to say, because I'm coming from the opposite end, I had no... I know Doctor Strange as he is now, but I've never gone back to care about his origin story.
Okay.
So I... this is all new to me.
There's like, I think there's an origin story movie on Netflix that I watched.
Oh, okay, I see.
Like an animated feature.
Yeah. But I overall, I thought it was really good. I thought it was a good, enjoyable, entertaining piece of film.
Yeah, I also thought it was good, other than that origin story. I was like, eh. But now is the spoiler time.
Now we can go into it. We say what you need to say. Make your piece.
So, man, they went full space, full cosmos, full magic in this. They took Inception level like special effects and then amped it to 11. The stuff they did with the powers that these people of the Mystic Arts can do is so visually appealing.
Yes.
It was really fun to look at. I heard some of the people we saw it with, like, it gave them headaches or, like, maybe it was too much at certain points.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got that. That wasn't an issue for me.
Nope.
And just, it's really exciting because, like, before this movie, like, Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet were, like, a far long dream.
Yes.
Like, oh, man, like, Guardians of the Galaxy came out, and that was really like, oh, hey, look, check out, here's some dudes, like, way far off doing their own thing, right? And that was cool, like, it gave you a little taste. But this is a movie where I'm like, oh, no, like, this whole cinematic, like, world-shattering event is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really trying to get people down to do this right.
Yes.
Seeing what they, like, what was it, the Eye of Agamotto? Or Yagamoto?
It's Agamotto.
Agamotto?
There you go.
Agamotto. I think, oh, that's it. In Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yes.
It's when you play as Doctor Strange. Eye of Agamotto.
Yeah.
So they do that stuff. And they have the Infinity Gem of Time, I guess.
Yep.
And they do really unique and cool, interesting stuff. Like, rather than just be like, oh, look, I can reverse time. There is the instance at the end of the movie where he uses a possible negative as a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really stuff I've only ever seen in Japanese manga, where they get that weird with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool to see in, like, a Western movie.
Yeah.
Just other stuff of, like, Tilda Swinton's character I thought was really cool. There was, like, this was the only movie where I think the jokes maybe didn't need to be there in Marvel.
Yeah, you know, you say that, and this is the first time where I feel like they kind of seem out of place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, every Marvel movie always has, like, the, like, they have, Avengers has the Hulk moment, right? It's like, oh, we have a Hulk.
Yeah.
And then he shows up and he slams Loki around, right? And, like, that's all well and good, but, like, for some reason, there's something about Doctor Strange's character that just exudes seriousness. Like, mm-hmm. when Doctor Strange is involved with something, you expect, like, something really
batshit
crazy to go
down. He's not like Spider-Man or Iron Man, where even though they're pretty badass, you can always tell they're still having fun at it.
Yeah. Like, he's a serious dude, and the things he deals with are serious.
Mm.
And so when he's, like, going around, like, just, like, making quips or, like, really bad music reference jokes.
Yeah.
It really falls flat because you're just like, I don't think this really fits. I don't think Doctor Strange is a character where you need comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least for me.
I agree. I don't think this movie really needs to be... Like, I'm glad it was lighthearted at times, but for him specifically...
Yeah, his character.
His character specifically, I feel like they could have just cut it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was also a thing in this movie where... going back to the origin story, what I remember from watching the animated short, I didn't actually hate Doctor Strange when he was normal, but in this movie, he is just a complete fucking prick. Like, he is like this dude who is just a complete asshole.
Yeah.
And like, there's a part of me where I'm like, I just kind of hope he doesn't get the powers. Like, fuck him, right? And I haven't seen them make a main character so like morally reprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
As they made Hugo Strange.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Stephen
Strange. Hugo, like, Strange.
Hugo Strange is Batman.
Hugo Strange is Batman. Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, like, part of me at the beginning of this movie is like, fuck him. I hope there's like, he dies and his illegitimate son gets the mantle.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of the movie, I was a little like, I was conflicted. You're right. He totally was not a character I was rooting for. I was like, I hope you get fucked over. I mean, of course you're gonna get fucked over. This is what this movie's about.
Yeah, you see him in his fucking Lambo getting wrecked. Yeah,
but then I was just like, I don't know if that's because they wrote him that way or because because it was Benedict Cumberbatch and I was expecting something different from him.
Benedict Cumberbatch can play, like, so we've all seen Sherlock.
Yeah.
Like, he can play that character very well.
Yeah, I just feel like it was off here, though. Like, it wasn't so, because, like, when he plays Sherlock, Sherlock's a dick.
Yeah.
But I don't hate him.
Yeah, true.
Right? Here it was just like, he's a dick, and he can go and die for all I care.
And there's also, like, there's part of it seems like the writing. Right, yeah. There is a certain part where it's like, yes, Benedict Cumberbatch comes off as an asshole in his acting.
Yeah.
But, like, listening to what the lines, like, his lines were at the beginning, like, yeah. I don't think he could have done much else with those lines.
That's true.
Like, he has the one where the one physio is trying to help him with his hands.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, fuck you, graduate degree, like, you won't fix my hands. I'm like, what a prick! Like, holy shit! Yeah. But then I think about it, I'm like, what else could you do with that line other than be the most reprehensible
and asshole. I guess you have to come from where he's coming from. Like, he's a man of money, he's come from money, he's from the top, and
status,
like, yeah,
he's never known not being the best, he has a photographic memory or whatever,
and I think that's why the jokes pissed me off a bit more when he would say the jokes, because I'm like, they just don't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
But whatevs. Anything else you want to say?
I think I felt that the world was the most fun I've had in a Marvel movie too. Like, having the initial scene of Tilda Swinton pushing his spirit body outside of his body and just being like, he's having that out-of-body experience, right?
Hold on. I have to ask, did that bug you? Because that was a big thing when she was cast.
Tilda Swinton?
Yeah.
Not really.
Because, like that was, like, the big issue with this movie, that she wasn't Asian.
So, yeah, she wasn't Asian. Also, that character was supposed to be male.
Yes.
So, at a certain point, it's like, I guess take what you can get.
Yeah.
But it didn't really bother me. But again, like, that sort of stuff doesn't actually bother me that much. Like, I don't have a history of being like, well, they didn't do this. I'll Kill Bill. Like, that movie shouldn't have been Uma Thurman, right? It should have been someone else.
I think it didn't bug me, but I just found it strange because when you went to, like, where in Nepal, everybody else wasn't white.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just weird.
The only part to me that, like, maybe justified that was that she is the Grand Master.
She's the Ancient One?
She is the Ancient One. Yeah. And when she came out and is like, listen, we have hubs all over the place.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, okay, well, like, maybe she grew up in London, in the London hub.
Yeah.
And then when she became all powerful, whatever, she's like, yo, Nepal, mountains, awesome. Let's chill here,
true,
right?
True.
But they did a lot of cool stuff. Like, and they went deep. Like, as soon as they brought out the sling ring, I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's cool. Or when his trainer, the black guy, I forget his name.
Oh, he has the boots of...
He has the flaming boots, but his stick is like, it's like the staff of the Living Tribunal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the Living Tribunal, that's some, like, real deep space shit.
Yeah.
And it, like, that was the part where I'm just like, oh no, this movie is dead serious about getting people used to cosmic level events.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it made me really if I thought the movie was good, the movie did a way better job of making me excited for future Marvel releases.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Like, yeah, the world that they built was exciting. I think the greatest success of this movie is that they introduced all these complex concepts, but they were very easy to follow, and the movie is very easy to understand. My biggest problem in the movie is the plot. I just had so many questions as I was watching it. Like, the movie opens with this, like, not a backstabbing. It's I guess one of the good guys goes bad, and he steals something, and he bolts.
He steals a book.
And the Ancient One fights him, but he gets away. Right?
Yeah.
Why didn't the Ancient One just go after him this whole time?
Yeah, that's like, right. He is the Ancient One. She is the Ancient One.
I was thinking, like, I was thinking about this the whole movie. I was like, why didn't you just chase him down from the get-go? Like, why are you waiting in Nepal for Mr. Strange to show up to do your fucking work for you?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff really messed my mind. Yeah. And then
there's later on, though, where, like, it kind of explains it because she is like the Grandmaster. Like,
yeah.
She has all those time books. Like, when she's having her death moment.
Yeah.
She has been like, well, I've seen my life. I know what my life is supposed to do.
Yeah.
So, like, that kind of explains it. But, like, really, it's like, why not just go?
Yeah. The other thing, too, is like, wait, they explain how, like, she protects the world or, like, they protect the world from everything. I'm like, from, like, otherworldly invaders. Yeah. I'm like, so where were you in Avengers 1?
Yeah.
You know, and there's, like, all these other movies, Thor's been here, like, multiple times. He's, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like,
does the gate just, like,
just
pierce, like, that veil? Like,
what? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things about this movie's plot that I just found a bit... It was, like, it was the standard, it's a movie, just let it do its thing. And and at some point, I just couldn't follow it anymore. Like, I just couldn't believe.
I also think that's probably a bigger issue now because these problems seem like problems that when comics first, like, were getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Where it's like, people are like, okay, well, in this comic, it's in the same universe.
Yeah.
They have this. Why didn't this stop that? Right? In this other series. And this is like, this seems like the movie people are, like, just getting their toes wet in juggling multiple IPs into one universe.
Yeah, it's like this movie is it's the 14th Marvel film, and...
Fuck, holy...
Yeah, 14. We've been here a while. And, you know, like, as excited as I am for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it is the one that's made me start to think, like, there are cracks in this armor, and it might not be pulled together by the time we get through it all.
Okay.
And it just has me worried, like, as exciting as the future prospect is of what these movies are going to be... This movie was the first one where I was just like, there's a good chance that they won't be able to tie everything together. And it could just be the reality of the world because of, you know, licensing agreements and just things that don't affect the core storytelling, but just legal issues they can't get around. And that kind of saddened me. But I mean, that's not really the movie's fault. It's just...
Yeah. And then there's also, I was reading an article that it was titled, Doctor Strange Doesn't Solve Marvel's Villain Problem.
Oh, the villain in this movie was awful.
Yeah. And also the fact that, isn't he still alive?
No.
Like, isn't he just hanging out with Dormammu now?
I thought Dormammu, like, absorbs him and eats him.
Oh, I thought they were just chilling. Like, he's like, okay, you're just my right-hand servants. Like, you know how Galactus has, like, the silver people?
I thought he just
consumed. Oh, okay, I didn't know how he took it. But, like,
yeah.
If I think about it, like, there's a couple of Marvel villains where I'm like, you're still alive. What are you doing?
Well, that's how good guys roll. They don't kill them.
Yeah.
They just put them away somewhere.
And, like, what are you going to do when it's, like, the world event? Like, are you going to come and hang out with Thanos and be like, hey, I'll help you out?
A small thing that bugged me is... I was thinking... Remember, what was that movie? It was Captain America, Winter Soldier, and they specifically reference Stephen Strange. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, when did they do that?
It's in 2014.
No, but I know, but, like, when in the movie?
They were doing it... As they were listing off, like, potential Hydra agents.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, Stephen Strange. And we're all like, oh, fuck!
Yeah.
Turns out he's just a surgeon, so why was he so important?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what? The movie I wish... Man, I love Rachel McAdams. She did not need to be in this movie. Like, the love interest did not need to be here.
No, yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah. And I feel like we could have had a bit more of a rich, fulfilled world if she just was cut out.
Yeah.
And that breaks my heart because I love her.
And, it's... At every point in the movie, she always seemed like a crutch.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, oh, we had to write this scene where he's dying because we need to bring back Rachel McAdam.
Yeah.
Or, anytime Doctor Strange makes progress in anything...
Yeah.
Like, she might as well not even exist. Like, he only acknowledges her existence when he is standing in front of her.
Yes.
There is no point in where he's just, like training, missing her or something, right? It's always, like... Other than that one email scene, but it's always, like, so forced. It's like, this romance did not need to be here.
Yeah. So... The problem with everything is, I like how his cape is effectively Aladdin's magic carpet.
Yeah.
I thought that was adorable.
Yeah, that cloak of levitation.
I was like, that's fucking...
It's a mind of its own.
Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I thought that was cool. Visually, I loved it. I thought it was fun. I liked the way they ended it. It was different.
Yep.
Might not be 100% satisfying to all audiences, but I thought it at least tried to go for something different, and I think it worked.
I thought they used, this is a Western movie that used time travel very well.
Yeah.
Right. And they use the possibilities of time travel, maybe not to their fullest extent, yeah. but to a greater extent than most do.
Yes.
Right. Usually it's just like, I'll go back or I'll relive a moment. Right. Yeah. But this is just like, no, I'm going to keep myself in this fucking loop.
It was a well done movie. I think I liked it more when I was watching it, but then as we got out of the theater, I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, I didn't like it as much as I remember.
I still think it's good.
For sure, I think it's good.
Like, coming out of the movie, I'm like, that was great. But then, again, like, as you think about it, as you talk about it with other people, like, and it's hard not, like, even, especially with Marvel movies, like, if you're in that scene, it's hard not to talk to people and let their decisions also kind of influence you a little
bit.
But I'm like, I'm pretty confident in saying to where when I came out of the theater, I was like, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was definitely cool.
Yeah. And then, like, as I'm like, okay, no, there's stuff here, there's potholes here. Even talking about it right now, like, like the whole Rachel McAdams thing, like, that wasn't even a thought in my mind until you brought it up. And I'm like, oh, no, yeah, you're right. That's actually, she couldn't, she shouldn't, like, she doesn't have to be there.
Yeah. I think I was hoping, I was really hoping in my mind that I was going to come out of this being like, it's like Guardians, like, it's just fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. I think that's my personal vendetta with it, but I like
it. I still think Guardians is, like, the high point for a Marvel movie.
It is, for sure. I think it's that or the first Avengers, but, I mean, different circumstances for those movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got nothing to say. Did you want to talk about the credit scenes?
The credit scenes were actually not... anything exciting.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, Thor, you're gonna go find your dad. I'll come with.
Hey, Thor, guess what? I heard Hulk was hanging out with you. I'm gonna hang out with you too. Yeah. We're gonna find Loki and shit.
Hang out.
Yeah.
And then the other one was at the end, the trainer.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, look, they broke the rules, so I will break all the rules.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's our villain for the next Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And that was actually... That was actually really disappointing, that second stinger.
My friend told me, he's like, listen, the second credit scene is awful. If you miss it, don't worry about it. And I'm like, whatever, I'll judge for myself.
Yeah.
And I watched it, I'm like, oh, fuck, he was right.
Yeah, it wasn't exciting at all.
So what do you want to rate this one?
I want to rate this one... I want to give it, like, two different scores. One for coming out of the theater and one for...
Okay, yeah.
The one for coming out of the theater is like a five. It's like a four... It's like, yeah, that was really good. That was really sick.
Yeah.
And then, like, afterwards, thinking about it, like, right now, I'm like, oh, it's like a three.
That's where I'm at.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's like a really good B-tier video game.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, oh, fuck, that was enjoyable and I had tons of fun, but it's never going to stand toe-to-toe with the top game, you know?
Yeah, top game, like, you know, like God Hand, just like...
Let's
those AAA tiers
move on.
Gonna move it this way. Yeah. If there's the final thing I gotta say about this movie is if there's anything it did, it made me insanely excited for the future event. That's what that movie did the best.
Totally. Also, I'm ready for more intimate Marvel movies. I don't need to have these world ending. Catastrophes.
Yeah, also, like, just on, like, the thing of, like, time travel, like, it really makes me want to recommend another show that I've been watching that has really great time travel elements to it. Yes. It's called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. So, like, part 5 in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure really uses that kind of stuff really well. And especially at the end.
I'm spinning in my chair.
So, JoJo's, just, like, you should read JoJo's Bizarre Adventure or watch it. Part 4 is really good right now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Let's move on to our picks of the week, and I think we're both going to talk about BlizzCon, so let's talk about BlizzCon.
All right, I'll start on BlizzCon.
Okay.
I'm starting with the Diablo hotness.
All right.
So Diablo 3, it's been out for a while. Like, I'm actually still playing it, like, pretty casually.
That's fine.
It's not a bad thing.
But you said it like it was a bad thing.
No, I didn't.
You're like, I'm actually still playing
it. Yeah, I'm still playing it.
Like, you were guilty or something?
It's like a comfort food game. Like, so it's, like, easy enough to where you're like, oh, I could just pump out a few levels. And then it's like, it's not too complex where I have to devote all my time to it.
Okay.
Right. So they announced that they are going to have a new patch, or not a new patch, but like a little extension pack. I don't want to call it a whole expansion because it's not a whole new expansion. It's like an add-on.
Okay.
Some DLC. The Necromancer pack, Rise of the Necromancer. They're bringing back the Necromancer from Diablo 2. He's shown summoning skeletons out of corpses. Throwing bone spears, all that goodness. This is all you really want out of the Necromancer. Yep. So, finally, that game needs a new class. I've been tired of playing the same classes over and over again.
I was going to say, when's the last time they added a class?
When the expansion came out.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it's been, like, 3 years? Yeah,
it's, like, two.
2 years? Then they added some other stuff. Like, they're going to put in an armory so you can save sets. So you can, like, switch out sets on the fly and be like, okay, I want to run this build instead. And you don't have to, like, sit there changing all your gems for,
wow,
like, 10 minutes.
Seems like something they should have done a long time ago. Yeah,
they should have done it a long time ago. And then they have an annual event that's going to start. It's called the Darkening of Tristram. It's going to be every January.
Uh-huh.
And this is an event where if you visit Old Tristram, you will get, like, a little special quest chain that'll allow you to go pretty much into the original Diablo dungeon.
Oh.
Go down all the floors, do all that stuff. And they have put shaders and changed the camera in a way where the game is looking like you're playing Diablo 1.
Whoa.
Yeah, so all the UI is classic Diablo 1. The filter makes it look all, like, grainy and make it look like that old style. The camera's really high up. Yeah, it looks like Diablo 1.
I'm just remembering Diablo 1. I'm like, yeah, that's a long time ago.
It's pretty cool.
That's the 90s.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. Some of you listeners weren't even born yet.
Crazy millennials. You know we're millennials?
I know. Oh,
okay.
That's why when I hear our friends say fucking millennials, I'm like, excuse me?
You're a millennial. Yeah.
Like, we're millennials. Be proud of it, motherfucker.
Yeah. But yeah, that was, like, the biggest news for me at a BlizzCon was just, like, finally a new class to play.
Yeah. So you said this event is annual, really? So it's only once a year?
Yeah, it'll be once a year. And this is the only time they've ever had an event like this, at least to my knowledge.
It's weird.
Like, they don't have Halloween
events. And I assume that it just runs through the month of January?
I would assume so, too, yes. Like, or maybe, like, 3 weeks or whatever.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The bonuses you can get some, like, cosmetic stuff for your armor. And then do you play Diablo 2?
Yeah.
So to get into the secret cow level in Diablo 2, you need an item called Ritt's Leg.
Yep.
Right? So you can get Ritt's Leg as a weapon skin now.
Oh, can you?
So you can run around dual wielding, like, peg legs, just, like, hitting people with peg legs.
That's fun.
So there's, like, little fun stuff. It doesn't seem like they've added anything in, like, insanely game-changing.
Yeah, maybe they realized they didn't need to.
Yeah, everyone was disappointed because they thought they were going to announce Diablo 4.
Ha.
Yeah. Blizzard doesn't know how to count past 3, right?
I still got 2 more Overwatches.
Yeah, I still got Half-Life 3.
Oh, sure, buddy. so on my end, of course, I'm just going to talk about the Overwatch stuff. But first I'll start with Heroes of the Storm.
I'm sorry, what?
Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, are you playing MOBAs now?
Let me just say that if you play 15 games with a friend, mm-hmm. you get a Genji skin for Overwatch.
Are you telling me that you want to play some Heroes of the Storm?
I might need to. It's this... He basically gets an Oni mask.
Okay.
And he just looks like an
Oni. No, I saw that skin. It looks super cool.
Yeah, but I was like, oh man, you play 15 matches with a friend?
They're not long. Is it ranked matches? Like, do I have to play against other people? Can we just play against AI? Because it's AI, we can just pump those out.
Oh, you know what? That's true. I should look it up.
Okay.
Because it'd be super easy for us to get.
Also, Heroes of the Storm is very easy. Have you ever played it?
No, but I heard it's like the baby MOBA.
It's baby MOBA.
And I'm like pretty excited about
your the prospects. Your team levels up all at the same time. You share your whole team shares an experience bar.
Oh, and your experience goes up depending on
how you're doing. So your team level, yes, your team level is level 2. Your team level is level 3. Your team level is level 4.
Oh, that sounds easy.
Yeah, it's very easy.
It sounds nice. So that's cool. But Overwatch, they outlined things past season 2. Season 2 ends November 24th. Season 3 starts December 1st.
Okay.
So that's fun. They introduced Sombra, the new character. I don't know if you saw her.
Sick hacker chick. I watched her character introduction trailer or whatever.
She's got some nuts abilities.
I haven't seen her gameplay. I only saw the CG trailer.
Okay, so one, she can hack you, or she can hack turrets, or she can hack health packs.
Okay.
So if she hacks the health pack, that means that the opposite team just can't touch it.
Oh, it's not like if they pick it up, they get negative?
No, it just means they can't use it. She can also hack you, mid-ability. So if Roadhog's doing the thing, she could hack him and he has to stop.
What the?
Yeah.
That's not like an ultimate?
No.
That sounds crazy.
The hacking takes like, I want it to take 2.8 seconds, and if she gets hit, hacking stops.
Oh, like, can she move?
She can move, but the hacking just stops.
Okay.
Like, she can run around and hack at the same time, but the hacking has a timer on it, okay. And if she gets touched during that timer, she stops.
That would be useful for, like, a Widowmaker ult. Like, you find the Widowmaker who's making your team visible to everybody.
Yes.
And it's just like, stop.
Yeah, she has stealth.
Okay.
And when she goes into stealth mode, she becomes invisible, but she has soldier's sprint speed.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. The cooldown on her stealth is, like, 4 seconds.
Okay.
Like, so it's nuts.
All right.
And then for her gun, it's, like, Tracer's gun.
Okay.
So she's not the highest DPS character, but she...
She seems super utility.
Yeah. Her greatest utility is she has this beacon that she can throw anywhere.
Okay.
And when you throw it down, you get a 15-second timer.
Okay.
And anytime in that 15 seconds, you can press a button and you will warp to wherever you threw that beacon.
Okay.
But, so, like, it's like you... It's
cool. Almost like Tracer's, like,
Rico. But you can also warp to it as it's being thrown midair. So she can throw it behind the enemy and then immediately warp into it.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Or she can use it as a scapegoat when she needs to...
To be honest, that doesn't seem useful because it sounds like she doesn't really have the best damage.
But she can get behind you and she can hack things.
True.
But this is all for her ult. So basically... Overwatch has this problem where every team needs a Reinhardt and a Lucio to win.
Okay.
Like, that is the meta.
Yeah.
And instead of, let's say, Blizzard's being like, they've tried to work around to get other people in.
Other than just removing the character.
Yeah, they're like, Sombra seems like their answer.
Okay.
Because her ult is kind of insane. It's an EMP blast, and what happens is, when you use it, it's got the AoE of Maze Blizzard, but it's a circle, right? So, like,
okay, it's a sphere.
It's a spherical. She cancels everybody in the area. So if Lucio ults and he hits that sound barrier and she hits hers, Lucio's ult is done.
Huh.
If Reinhardt's holding his shield up, he doesn't have a shield anymore.
That's pretty cool.
Anybody who has a barrier or shield is gone.
How does this affect Bastion? Because he's just a robot.
Oh, so he's just fine.
Oh, okay.
He's fine. I think it's just like he can't repair or something.
Or it's like when he turns into a tank, he becomes not a tank.
I actually don't know how that works.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, she just seems like the anti-current meta solution.
That sounds good. Like, that kind of, that's what that game needs. Like, the main reason I think I stopped playing Overwatch is I'm tired of playing Reinhardt. I'm tired of playing Lucio.
Yeah. So that's fun. She's going to shake things up. That's cool. But for me, the most exciting thing about the Overwatch reveal was the arcade mode. Okay. I don't know if you saw any of this.
No.
So do you remember Quick Play?
Yeah.
So Quick Play is basically 6 heroes, you do whatever you want.
Go ham, yell at people.
Yeah, well, the problem with Quick Play was when competitive seasons were done, where did those people go to play? Because they couldn't go to Quick Play because then it's just like a bunch of bullshit. So they're like, Quick Play, we're going to put in a single hero limit. It's going to be just like competitive, only you don't have to do the multiple rounds.
Okay.
Brawls, we're getting rid of Brawls. We're going to call it Arcade Mode. Arcade Mode has 5 different modes in it now. First one is the old version of Quick Play, where it's called No Limit.
All right.
So if you just want to have, like, I don't know, 6 Genjis, you can do that in there.
Why else? Why would I not want to have 6 Genjis?
Exactly, right? You could do that. The other one is a Brawl playlist, where it's all the past Brawls and seasonal events that we've done. It's just a playlist. You can go through them all.
Okay.
Then there's Mystery Hero.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, where it's just everyone's random all the time. No hero switching.
Wait, even when you die? Like, do I die, revive as a random
hero? No. You start as a hero.
Oh,
you're just that hero.
I wanted, like, true random. Like, when I die, new hero.
Yeah. That would be cool. That would be really cool. Because then you couldn't just come back be like... I think the reason they didn't do that is because your ults reset every time you switch characters.
All
right. So there's that.
Then you gotta be extra good.
Sure. But it's the two new modes that they added. So they're called Elimination.
All right.
The first one is 1v1. It's just you against someone else. You guys get the same character picked at random.
You're finally going to get the League of Legends equivalent of 1v1 me at Baron Pit, bro.
Yeah, it's 9 rounds, best of nine, so first of 5 wins.
So it's just going to be a bunch of McCrees. That's all that mode is.
So that one is just an ego trip, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. It's the second one that's cool. It's 3v3.
Okay.
And that one is Elimination style.
Like Counter-Strike?
Yeah.
Like you die, you're gone?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Best of 9, yes.
That sounds sick.
So that's the one I'm super excited for. They introduced a new map to go with it because you're smaller teams, it's a smaller map, and it's Maze map.
Okay.
It's basically this place where she cryo-froze herself for 10 years. That's her whole story.
Well, Maze Bay, that's all I gotta say.
So that's cool. And I'm super excited for that because in both of these elimination modes, if you win 3 matches, you get a loot box.
Oh.
And you could do that up to 3 times per week. So you win 9 matches,
you get
3 loot boxes.
Did they say anything about changing the frequency of, like, skin drops in loot boxes or rarities and
they
stuff?
Did not, no. Okay. They did not.
Because I feel like if you're getting more loot boxes, then maybe they'll be like, oh, these skins are now rarer.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, that was the Overwatch stuff.
Okay.
It seems pretty cool. I'm pumped. I can't wait to see what changes they're going to make, like balance changes they're going to make.
Okay.
Because I heard D.Va's supposed to get, like, even more health and even faster.
Okay. Like, I feel like they're just, like, there's someone on that team who's just, like, convincing everyone else. It's like, hey, remember D.Va?
I think it's because she's the lowest picked tank.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, if you got Reinhardt.
Because you got Reinhardt, then you got Zarya.
I know PC players use Roadhog a lot.
Yeah, because Roadhog is like the best solo carry.
Whenever I played Overwatch, yeah. If someone else was a Reinhardt, I was like, yes, finally, I can pick Roadhog.
Yeah, like Roadhog would be the best solo carry. And then when it came to D.Va and Winston, people always picked Winston because Winston could knock people off points.
He's also got the shield.
Yeah. But like, I think Blizzard really wants D.Va to be part of the meta. And I'm like, cool.
LOL.
Yeah, so that's fun. Cool. Let's move on to our next picks. I think they're both game trailer announcements.
Yeah. So this one's, mine's out of Japan. It is a new, it's a new shameful game, I guess. It's called Gun Gun Pixies.
Oh, wow.
Based on that title, I want you to tell me what you think this game is.
Gun Gun Pixies. Shit. I want to believe this is like Tinkerbell going around with SMGs, but it's not.
It kind of is.
What?
So you play as a tiny pixie.
But what would she be shooting?
Shooting other girls.
Oh my god.
Look at that screenshot.
Oh, like real girls.
Yeah, like real live.
Wait.
Japanese ladies.
What's that shitty game where you were a fly and you had to land
Mr.
on...
Mr. Mosquito?
Yeah.
That game's awesome. Fuck you. All right?
That's what that reminds me
of. Mr. Mosquito's fucking great.
That's why you like this shit.
So you play as a tiny pixie in different Japanese girls' rooms. And pretty much, like, it's like you're an alien, but you're a pixie.
Right? I got that.
You arrive on Earth after your home planet is thrown into a crisis. And you have to aim and fire at girls to do something. The trailer doesn't really explain it. But you're just shooting bullets at these women in their rooms. And, like, when you take damage, your clothes get, like, super tattered and stuff. But I don't know how you get take damage because the trailer's only, like, 30 seconds. So it's going to be a Vita game that's coming out in, I think it said November.
What is this bullshit?
But they have no announcement if it's coming to the West. Like, the trailer just came out in Japan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, like, why you're shooting these girls, what the whole purpose is. But, yeah, it's just, like, you're a tiny alien pixie girl that is shooting regular-sized Japanese women in their own homes with guns.
Great.
It's weird.
I got that.
It's weird. So I'll be importing it when it comes out, and I'll report back.
Duff.
So yeah, if you want to see the trailer, it's on Kotaku. Go on Kotaku or just search like in Google like Gun Gun Pixies Kotaku and then it'll bring you to the article.
That's crazy.
It's it's weird.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about my game from Canada.
From Canada.
From Canada. From, you know,
Canada doesn't make games.
We do.
We got Ubisoft Toronto. We got Capybara.
We got all of EA.
Whatever EA doesn't count, they make Madden. Who gives a fuck?
EA owns a ton of other developers, like BioWare.
Oh, those are the guys with the doctors. They're into that medical stuff.
No, they're not even part of the company anymore. One's making beer, the other one's doing fuck all.
They're doing everything except being doctors.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they're doing. Yeah, so today is November the 8th.
Alright.
When we're recording.
Remember the 8th of November?
Yes, but more importantly, November 7th was yesterday, which is N7 Day, which is Mass Effect Day.
Alright.
So the trailer for Mass Effect Andromeda dropped.
It did. It dropped like it was hot.
It was hot. And
I only watched it on mute.
Okay.
Because I watched it in class.
Oh yeah? And what'd you think? On mute.
On mute! The game looks hot.
Yes, it does.
That's a good-looking Shep replacement that they got there.
What are the names? Ryder?
Riders, yeah, the Riders.
The Riders.
And he's got, like, that currently modern haircut with the really shaved sides and the long top going on. Yeah,
they got that new fresh N7 armor.
Yeah.
What's their ship called?
I don't know. I saw it on mute.
No, it was written on the side of the ship. I want to say it's like Hephaestus.
It's no Normandy.
No, it's not Normandy. Maybe it's not. I can't remember what it's called. But the ship looks bigger than the Normandy. It looks more like a Enterprise level ship where it's like, because I believe the story is at the same time that the regular Mass Effect started, there was this team and they set off to explore further outside.
Oh, so they're literally Star Trek.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So like, that's how this story exists. It doesn't have anything to do, because Mass Effect, as cool as it was only about the galaxy of the Milky Way.
And it was about whatever the Mass Effect relays could reach.
Yes. This is about, I believe, exploration into anything beyond the Milky Way.
Cool.
And what this trailer more than anything showed was like, because the original Mass Effect games, as much as I love them, and as much as they were like, oh yeah, it's all about space exploration, it wasn't really. It was this grand adventure that took you to like giant hub areas that you did stuff at.
Yeah.
But this game looks like, no, we're going to try and do a space exploration thing. I'm not expecting like No Man's Sky level stuff, but from everything they showed, it seems like there's a good variety of things to do and places to go. And that excites me.
I just hope it's better than like the Mako stuff from Mass Effect 1, where when they tried to do like, oh, this is like space exploration, but it's like,
I'd hope so, because you
drive around this sandbox for a bit.
Yeah, I hope so, because it's been 10 years since that. Yeah. So I hope they did something in those 10 years.
No, they did nothing. They just brought back the Mako sequences.
Fuck, man. So yeah, that's exciting. I think I've already told you the story before. There's two characters, male brother and sister. If you're one, the other one's gonna be doing something else in the universe.
Yeah.
So gives you way more incentive to play as both.
It's I didn't think I'd be excited for another Mass Effect game, but hearing how different it is, it makes me really excited. It's kind of the same reason I'm excited for the new Call of Duty.
I've heard mixed on those.
Well, like I think the big thing is that people just want like the mainstream Call of Duty, people just want more modern military.
Mm-hmm.
But like I'm excited for it because I'm like, oh, you're finally doing something different.
Yeah.
Like get there.
But yeah, Andromeda's scheduled for next spring.
I don't remember.
I know it's early 2017, which is very soon.
Could you believe it? When I was watching the trailer in class, my teacher had the gall to ask me questions in class. Like, come on, I'm watching a trailer here. Like, what do you got to do?
Man, she had no respect for you.
No respect. No respect.
Jeez. She got him fired. Report that guy. There are some more important things than learning.
Exactly. Yeah. Like exploring space.
Yeah. So Mass Effect Andromeda looks sick. You can bet your ass I will buy whatever the most expensive version of that game is.
It comes with a like die-cast metal version. Sure, of the ship.
Why not? I know they called it, there's this thing called like the Mass Effect Initiative or something. It's like a web tutorial game thing. If you go through it all, you can unlock in-game items.
Okay.
So I did it.
Did they decide what the true canonical ending of Mass Effect 3 is?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because, like, what do you think the chances are of you, like, finding Shepard?
I don't think it's anything like that.
Okay. Because... you said it takes place during the story. Never mind.
Yeah, and, like...
Or at least hearing about Shepard. What do you think is, like, we got a report back from the Citadel that some dude named Shep is going ham on these robots.
I don't know, because the thing is, when you hear you should watch the trailer with dialogue.
Okay.
Because they talk about how, like, you know, back on the Milky Way, humans were, like, the top-level species.
Yeah.
But what they talk about when they're in this trailer is how they're the outsiders, and all the aliens are the normal people.
Okay.
And you have no connection to anybody.
Oh, okay.
So you're kind of on your own.
Yeah, because what was it? I remember in the first or second game, they explain how humans took power in, like, even though they were so late to the space game.
Yeah.
Right? It was just like, I think it was Tassoni?
Liara Tassoni?
Like, her race.
Yeah.
They were like, well, humans' lifespans are so short in comparison to other people's or other races that they are super fucking efficient.
Yeah.
So they had no problem being like, yo, dog, what's up? Like, let me in this council. How's it going?
Yeah, let's keep going. Yeah. So, yeah. But no, fuck, man. So excited. Next spring is going to be hot.
No, that universe is sick.
I'm going to get a Mass Effect. I'm going to get a Persona. I'm going to get
can't wait.
Let's hope that Switch gives me a Monster Hunter.
That Take Your Heart edition.
Man, I'm so excited for next year's video games.
I know, right? Sucks. I'm still waiting for Uncharted 4 to go on sale for this year.
I heard it was $30.
What?
Yeah.
I know the Nathan Drake collection was $30 recently on Amazon.
It still is.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got that the Uncharted 4 Special Edition on my wish list right now. It's like $70.
Hmm. Wait, the one that's just like the slipcase?
No, like it comes with some stuff.
Oh, like okay, like the figure? That one?
I think so.
Like that's worth it. If just buy for $70.
Yeah, but I don't want to pay that.
Yeah, you do.
No, I just want the game now for like $10.
Okay.
So, we'll see. But yeah, I think those are our picks.
Sweet.
Sweet. Let's move into our weeks. Mine's pretty short. Played Overwatch. Great. Cool. I turned on Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed the Wii U wasn't on the coffee table anymore, so I'm like, he must have played it.
Yeah, so I was about to start it, and then I fell asleep.
Aw, man!
Yeah, I was just so tired. I was just like, what the fuck? And so then I'm like, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll put it on the gamepad, and then I can play it while I'm lying down. But okay. I just fell asleep.
Okay.
So, that's that. The only new thing I did was, and you would have seen this on my Twitter, I posted something earlier today. You remember Planet Earth?
Yeah.
That came out in 2006. One of the first Blu-rays I bought.
It's a sick movie.
Documentary.
Sick movie.
Yeah. Anyways, they made a sequel, Planet Earth 2. And it's a 6-part series, and it just started airing this week. First episode went out. I watched it, and I was just like, oh my god, David Attenborough, oh my god.
I saw the thing, was it 2 clips from it, I believe?
Yeah.
The one where the chick jumps off of a 400-foot cliff.
Yeah,
and then I saw the one with the gecko or whatever, the lizard.
Running from escaping snakes? Escaping
from infinite snakes.
Oh, how did they film that?
I don't know, that's so sick.
How did they film
it's
that?
It's so sick. There's the one scene when he's like, I gotta be still. And then when the snake goes for him, he like chucks his tail and just leaves.
How did they film it? So, man, the luck, because he gets caught halfway through that scene.
And then he escapes!
Yeah!
Slithery bastard!
But then you just see more snakes, and
then he does the thing, it was, the coolest action movie sequence, but in real life. Like, he starts parkouring over rock gaps and shit.
He makes this, cliff jump, and he just lands
it. No, it's the thing, it's like the one, you watch, a Vin Diesel, Triple X, where he's like, oh, either I'm going to get shot and get eaten by this tiger, or if I jump this crevice, I can make it to the other side.
Yeah.
And he jumps the crevice, and he, hangs on by one hand. He's like, bitches. And then he climbs up.
That's nuts. I can only imagine the crew, the whole time it's happening, they're like, I cannot believe
this. I want to see the uncut audio of that. Like, there's got to be a bunch of dudes. There's got to be the one guy in the camera being like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, go, go, go,
keep
go!
Keep rolling! Or that, or, the other thing is, I wonder how long they were sitting there waiting.
Is it,
weeks? Were they just, hunting?
That's an insane scene to catch.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to hijack your week for a little bit. If you guys go on Reddit, you have to be comfortable with gore. You have to be comfortable with, a little bit of violence and gore. But it's a subreddit called Nature is Metal.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And so they had that. They had that scene on. It's called Nature is Metal. And there is a bunch of cool, images and stuff of nature being just metal.
Yeah.
Right. But some of it's really rough. So an example for it is a bunch of wolves were trying to eat this deer.
Yeah.
And they got it so bad that they ate its front legs.
And it's still gone.
And it was still running on its bones.
Oh.
And so when they found it later, it was just here's two bones.
Yeah.
And it was running on bones trying to get away from these wolves. It's kind of nuts.
I guess at that point, you have so much adrenaline, you just don't even feel
didn't even feel it. Yeah. Or what is a picture of two Komodo dragons pulling an elk from each side
until
it
tears?
Like playing Wishbone.
Yeah.
And it's man, nature's so metal.
Nature's rough. Nature's rough.
I think the funniest one I saw, this is just the last one I saw on that subreddit, was the title was Horse Meets Chick, a baby chicken.
Yeah.
Right? And it's this chick is running around, having whatever, uh-huh. and the horse is sniffing it, pushing it. And then all of a sudden, the chick disappears.
Oh.
The horse fucking ate it.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, man, nature's rough.
Yeah. That's some. You know what's weird? I'm not the best with blood and gore.
Oh, really?
But when it comes to wildlife and nature, no problem.
There's a little bit of difference when it comes to that. You're so attached to being a human being.
I guess so. Yeah.
That seeing oh, I don't want to see some dude with his guts spilled on the road, right?
Exactly.
But you're oh, that's an animal. That's a different game. They're doing own thing.
I guess maybe that makes me heartless.
Yeah, it makes why do you think people eat chicken nuggets? The only reason they can do that stuff is because they don't know what it is.
That's right. I don't.
I literally turned someone off of eating veal this week.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, man, I love veal. I'm like, do you know what it's made?
Oh, man, you told them the process.
And I told them the process. And they're like, well, I can't eat veal anymore. Thanks, Anthony.
Why you gotta ruin people's lives?
Because it's better to know. Ignorance is not bliss.
Okay, listen, you can do that, but next time you do it, you have to play the More You Know song.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
And then you're in the clear. But yeah, check out Planet Earth 2. It's fucking sick.
I'll wait for the Blu-rays.
Actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'll wait for the 4K Blu-rays marathon that shit.
Speaking of which, I think I'm going to get rid of my TV and get a high-end monitor.
What if, think about this, if you kept your TV and then also got a 4K gaming monitor?
Nah, I'll put the TV down here in the basement, and then just for my Overwatch esports level, I'll just have the monitor for me.
Obviously, zero millisecond lag.
Yeah, man.
Some BenQ.
That shit's cheap now. Like, if you get a monitor, like, 24, 27 inch, it's not that... I was expecting, like, $600, $800, but they're like, it's like...
The new hotness is curved. The new hotness is OLED.
So yeah, that's okay. So what I was looking at was curved OLED 4K blah blah blah, and I'm like $500, and like yeah, that's a lot of money. But at the same time, it's like it's not as bad as I was gonna think.
It's not what it used to be.
Yeah, and then I looked at like, well, what if I just got LED flat like 24, 27, like with the 0 millisecond response? I'm like 250. I can do that.
I can push this.
I could even get 2.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's my life.
All right. Going through that deep debt.
Yeah. Christmas coming up.
All right.
Santa, I want that.
So in my week, I finished and started the second season of Daredevil.
Oh!
So I saw The Punisher, saw Elektra, got through the whole thing.
Can I take a guess here and say that you loved the first half and then the second half you're kind of like...
I'm gonna leave that as a cliffhanger because I want to talk about this season full spoiler.
Sure.
So for people who are listening, I'm not gonna talk about Daredevil till the end. Okay. But for people who are here, you can stick around till the end.
Okay.
So I watched another movie. It was a very limited release movie. It is called The Handmaiden.
This is that long.
It is a 2.5 hour Korean crime drama.
It sounded familiar.
Limited North American release. It is done by the director who did Old Boy.
Yeah. Oh!
Most famous for Old Boy.
That's why this movie was like in the circles of being talked around.
Yeah. So it is Japan occupied Korea.
Yeah.
Right. And so in that, there is a pretty much a con artist family. And the start of the movie is there is a con girl.
Yeah.
Is going to team up with this other guy who is also a con artist. They are going to try and make this rich girl who lives with like a duke. He has a whole bunch of like a secret book collection. He's worth millions, whatever. Right. So that the girl is going to pose as the rich girl's handmaiden.
Yeah. Right?
And convince her convince the handmaiden to marry the con man. Then the handmaiden and the con man, they get married. The rich girl and the con man get married.
Yeah.
Then the handmaiden and the con man put her in like somewhere else, like either kill her or put her in an insane asylum or whatever. And then he takes the fortune, pretty much.
Of course.
Right? And so that's the thing. So it's just a grab for money. From there, the story gets super fucking weird. And also, like, it fucking goes places. Other than that, I cannot say, like, because it'll just be straight spoilers and it'll ruin a lot of the, like...
I understand, yeah.
The moments of the movie. There were two specific moments where in the theater, every single person in the audience went, oh shit, like, holy balls, like, that's happening. Like, there was audible gasps of, like, when twist reveals happen, and I think it was totally worth it. It was a 2.5 hour Korean, fully subtitled... of Korean and Japanese.
Yeah.
And I was like on the edge of my seat the whole movie.
Damn.
It is if it is still playing in a theater near you, I highly recommend it. It is a fantastic, fantastic film.
I know it was limited release here, but is it been out for a while now in Korea and stuff?
I actually don't know.
Okay.
I know when I saw it, it probably had already been out for a week or two in Canada, but I had to go all the way out to Toronto to see it.
It's a Korean film, I understand.
Yeah, so like even we got Shin Godzilla where we live, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, yeah, I had to go all the way to Toronto.
That's why I want to know if, like, I wonder if I just look it up now, if I could just, like, buy it or something.
Maybe. Yeah. You might be able to. But it is one of my most favorite movies of the year.
Okay.
Like, right now, it is sitting at number one of movie of the year for Anthony.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's great. But it is a hard R. It is a hard R rating.
Once you said it was from Old Boy, I was like, okay.
Yeah. If you are not comfortable, it's not necessarily violence. Like, there's some violence. If you are not comfortable with sexual themes, this movie may rub you the wrong way, because they have no qualms with playing with that kind of content,
yep,
with that kind of subject material. So yeah, if you're not really comfortable with, like, heavy sexuality in your movies, then maybe stay away. But for me, it was one of my favorite movies this whole year.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I can't recommend it enough.
Cool.
And then the last new thing before I talk about Daredevil is I read a new comic. It is by the writer of Why the Last Man and Saga, and it is called Paper Girls.
Okay.
So I got the first trade. Paper Girls is kind of what it sounds like. So there's this new girl in the town in that they grew up in. It's like, I want to say it's like 80s middle America.
Yeah.
And there she's going for a paper route, and she meets up with other paper girls. But from there, some weird supernatural shit starts happening. And it's kind of hard to explain this comic, because the issue I had with the first trade is that I got real Stranger Things vibes.
Oh, don't say that, because now I want to read it.
Right? So I got real, real Stranger Things vibes from it, whereas, like, the first issue is, like, really slow. You kind of don't know where it's going. Then issue two picks up. But where Stranger Things kind of levels off, where it's, like, it picks up. Here's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Let's follow it through. Paper Girls doesn't know when to stop.
Ah.
Paper Girls is like, okay, first issue is like, what are we doing? Then second issue is like, oh shit. Then it just, like, exponential curve into lunacy. And they introduce so many supernatural elements all at once with no explanation that you're kind of on the edge of your seat the whole time, but it never gives you any answers. It never gives you anything to look forward to. And by the time I finished the first trade, I was so confused and had so many questions about what is happening that I kind of didn't care anymore. Like, part of me is probably going to pick up the second trade just to give it that shot. Maybe it'll level off.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a moment as soon as...
like, at some point you're just desensitized to it?
Yeah, where it's just like, oh, look, there's, like, all kinds of crazy shit happening. And then once they start layering crazy shit on top of crazy shit on top of crazy shit, it's... You're just like, you don't care anymore, right? They don't know when to level it off. They don't know how to... At least in the first trade, they didn't know how to separate their reveals.
Yeah.
It was reveal, characters like, oh shit, what do we do? And then that goes straight into another reveal, where characters are even more confused, but for some reason they can still handle it. And, like, at this point, I'm just like, I don't know what's happening anymore as a reader.
Yeah, that's how I feel about The Walking Dead.
Is that what happened in the comics? Or
No, I didn't mean, like, the show. I mean, like, okay. Like, she just kept going on. Maybe it's a different thing. But
okay, yeah, so I've actually been trying to catch up on The Walking Dead. I finished season 3,
yeah,
The Governor. And, like, they had that moment. They had the thing of, like, Governor goes crazy. They're getting more and more people into the jail, and, like, stuff starts happening. But then there's the thing where, okay, we're finally having our confrontation with the governor, and it levels out.
Yeah.
This is our problem. We're going to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Decline into the season, start a new season.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, the Paper Girls starts off pretty level. You don't know what's happening, real Stranger Things style, and then just exponential curve into lunacy.
Yeah.
And I just kind of didn't really enjoy it by the end of it. So it was one of those things like Doctor Strange, where the more I thought about it after the fact,
yeah,
the more I'm like, where is this even fucking going?
Yeah.
So it's got a great art style. It's really cool to see like these all female teenage cast, and they got all the tropes. They got like the Goody Two Shoes new kid. They got
how many cast characters? Like, is it, what are we talking, like the Sailor Scouts? Like, there's five of them, each of them filling a role.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's the Goody Two Shoes new kid. There is the kid who comes from a broken home with an abusive dad and alcoholic mom. So she's like the badass, obviously, who's in trouble. The cops know her name. There's the bookworm smart girl.
Of course.
Right. They got all the roles filled.
They got the mom that takes care of them.
They did.
Oh shit.
And then something happened to her.
Okay.
And like again, yeah. There's like all these. They introduce characters, kill them off like 2 pages later.
I see what you're saying now. Okay.
Yeah,
I get it.
Okay. So like, slight spoilers. There is a thing where they introduce 2 male characters.
Yeah.
And I'll try and be as vague as possible so it's not too spoilery.
Yeah.
They introduce 2 male characters. And within the introduction of those characters, it takes a total of 5 page flips for them to be dead.
Wow.
Right? And they seem like super important characters because they build them up and they're finally telling the characters like little information about what's happening in the world.
Damn.
And then murder.
Nice.
And you're like, okay, well, I don't know what this comic wants from me.
Hmm.
So we'll see.
Hmm.
It was an interesting read, to say the least.
Hmm.
I haven't seen something like so fast paced since like Ren and Stimpy. They're all over the place.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And so, but then we'll get into the last thing. Full spoilers, season 2 Daredevil.
Yeah.
Yo. Homeboy from The Walking Dead. So good.
Yeah.
I first saw him and I'm like, you're not going to be a good Punisher. Like, just from the outlook. But he exudes, like, he's a great actor. He exudes this level of confidence to where you're like, I fucking believe you.
Yeah.
You are the Punisher.
He does it so well that you're kind of like, I wonder. Is that just who he is?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Or like it was good enough to where I'm like, if they ever wanted to pull the Punisher into the movies,
yeah,
they should just use him.
Yeah.
It's awesome. The first half of that series is amazing.
Yeah.
The rooftop scene where Daredevil is chained to the chimney and they're having this repartee.
Yeah.
To be like, what, you think you're all good because you don't do what I do? Well, I think you're weak because you can't finish the job. And I'm like, fuck, Punisher, you're so good.
He's really good.
He's really good. And they keep true to the Punisher's name that whole season.
Yeah.
Right? There is a part in the series near the end where I'm like, oh, they could easily write this as Punisher redemption.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he'll turn a new leaf, not kill this dude. And he just looks at that girl and is like, this is who I am. And fucking closes the door. And you're like, oh, Frank Castle never changed.
Yeah.
I think the scene that solidified the fact that he is a good Punisher was the scene in the pawn shop.
When he walks into
the pawn shop to ask for a police scanner.
Yeah.
And the guy, and he goes, also the sawed off under the table.
And the shells.
And the shells. He buys the sawed off, gives him the shells, whatever. Takes the sod off, leaves the shells.
Yeah.
And it's the scene at the end where he is leaving. He's like, yo, man, you want to buy some more? I got backdoor grannies, all this other stuff. And then he brings out, like, I got this one girl. She's barely 10.
Yeah.
And he just stops in his tracks. And he has this, like, look in his eyes where I'm like, "Hold, like, did someone actually kill your family?
Yeah.
Because holy shit, like, that's some method acting. I don't know. And he locks the door.
Yeah.
And grabs the bat. And they know when to show violence and when not to show violence in this show. The thing I posted on Twitter is I never really know, like, so in Daredevil, like, they have really good hand-to-hand combat, like, that's no, but I never really noticed how good it was until it was fights with the Punisher, where they do the whole thing of what I always complain in other movies where it's like when the hit connects, they switch the camera angle, it lessens the shot, but they don't do that in Daredevil. And when they show the Punisher fights, there's a level of brutality that Daredevil doesn't do.
Well, because he's a hero, bro.
Because he's a hero, right? Well, listen, I say Frank Castle's a hero.
Oh, I'm not gonna say he's a villain, but
I say
a hero. He is not.
He's the hero we deserve.
Oh no, that's not bad.
But there's a level of brutality that Frank Castle delivers in those fight scenes where it is explicitly clear that they are not, sorry for the pun, not pulling any punches when it comes to these fight scenes.
Right.
They are showing these hits. At certain points, I believe there was one scene where he was beating up a mafia guy solo. And to get information from him, he punched him in the face so much that a jawbone pierced through his skin.
Yeah.
And he was talking like garbled garbage. Right? And you're like, wow. I can't name another TV show that could get away with that kind of violence.
I could.
What?
Game of Thrones.
Okay, well, I've never watched Game of Thrones. Okay. So I don't really know what that's like. But I assume Game of Thrones is like...
Actually, The Walking Dead could do that stuff.
So, again, okay, let's do Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff usually happens to zombies. Like, I feel like people who are usually dead. Like, there was the scene that I've seen, at least, with...
Yeah.
I know something happens to Glenn in later seasons.
Yeah.
But there was another scene with Glenn, with the governor. And I'm like, okay, he's getting the shit kicked out of him, and he's pretty bruised. But it's still the whole thing of, like, you see the governor's back.
Yeah.
And you see his fist going... But you don't see the damage that's being done, right?
I see what you're saying.
Whereas in Daredevil, like, when the Punisher punishes someone, like, they're fucked. Yeah. And I don't know how they do these shots, because I assume it's makeup.
Yeah.
Right? They're not... But it's after every punch, it's boom, and there's, like, a bruise on his face.
Yeah.
Boom, there's a cut. Boom, and, like, how long does it take to do that scene of, like, okay, I punched you once, that's the take, go to the trailer, come back... Get back in the scene.
Maybe it's VFX.
Right? Maybe it's also VFX, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... The Punisher fight scenes are some of my favorites of fight scenes, just period in TV.
Mm.
Yeah. And then there's the whole... There's even the downtime with the Punisher of the court thing.
Yeah.
Where you're like, again, it's, oh man, is Frank gonna have this change of heart? And he's like, I don't want to be treated like as PTSD, all this stuff. And it's like... And at the end, when he's just like... I fucking do it again. Gab at me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, man, you're so cool. Character is so awesome. And then there's like Elektra, and she's rich kid, whatever. And then the obvious thing I thought was going to happen to her at the end of the season happens, like, whatever. But yeah, like, I just want a Punisher show. If they can deliver that kind of intensity and that kind of, that level of writing... In his own spin-off thing,
mm-hmm.
I want that.
You know they're making a Punisher show, right?
Are they really?
Yeah, I told you this when I finished watching the show.
Oh, I tuned that out. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, he has his own show.
Good.
They, I think after like the first week that show came out, they're like, Frank Castle will be returning in his own show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, no, like... Punisher season 2 was really good.
Yeah, it was. Well, first 6 episodes were great.
I didn't really care about Matt by the end of it.
Yeah.
He had all of the typical, like, I'm a superhero now, I can't deal with you normal people.
You know what the problem with Matt is? He has the same problem that Christian Bale had as Batman. Like, in the first Batman Begins, you were like, fucking sick! And then the second one comes around, and it's like, Batman's this voice.
Yeah.
And he's this joke that we all make fun of, but we love the villain. We're like, that Joker? Fucking sick. He made the movie.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and it doesn't matter how good Batman became after that, like his acting or great his character was, he only ever focused on the villain at that point. And that's what the problem with Daredevil is right now.
Yeah, there was it the Yakuza with all their weird mojo shit?
Nobu.
Nobu being all immortal.
And that... Jar mask. No, the
stick.
Yeah, that's the man.
Stick with the other blind guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I'm interested in the villains rather than being interested in an actual Matt as Daredevil.
Yeah. I kind of felt bad.
Kingpin still hang out in jail somewhere.
But okay, so the thing about season 2 though is there's just like, man, Matt's a fucking shitty friend.
Yo, he's garbage. He's garbage
people. The worst friend. Like, wow. If I ever get that bad, let me know.
Alright, so Vince, I gotta talk to you. yeah, he's garbage people.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, listen, can you just show up for the court meeting? Yeah, no, I'll be there.
And like, oh man, I feel like he could have shown up.
He 100% could have.
Like
the things he was doing in between those scenes.
Yeah,
he could have shown up.
I felt so cheated out of like, you're just. It's not so much that you're being a dick because of circumstances. You're being a dick because you're a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, woe is me. I gotta protect Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
It's my city, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you're just using this as excuses because you're addicted to the fucking adrenaline.
Yes. Of course. Yeah. Man.
So, yeah. I can't wait for a Punisher show.
Yeah, I think it's coming either late next year. I can't remember.
I learned about a thing on... Have you ever seen the website TV Tropes?
Yep.
So there's a trope called Flandersization. Flandersization, where in The Simpsons, Flanders was always the caring next-door neighbor, a little too genuine,
yes. And
he was religious, right? Mm. But as the show went on, he became a caricature of himself.
Yes.
Right? And so I really hope they don't do that with The Punisher. Like, the Punisher right now is in this perfect spot of, like, I know who you are, you're Frank Castle, your family was murdered, fuck all these bad guys and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they could, I don't want them to take him into, like, comic book levels of, like, I'm gonna slide down the rope to akimbo fucking things and be like, bitches, and just kill, like, 1,000 people. Like, I don't want
to. Imagine how cool that would be.
Like, part of me is like, leave that for, like, Crank. Like, I want, like. But I like the serious. It's the same reason my favorite Punisher comics are the Punisher Max series.
Mm.
Where in Punisher Max, he is a human being.
Yeah.
And he is not this out of control.
That's what makes him interesting when he's the human side of it.
Yeah.
You don't want the psycho side all the time.
Yeah. Like, there's a part where it's like the psycho side becomes his character.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay.
I mean, it's fun, but.
Eventually, you're just that scene where you're Will Smith as Deadshot in Suicide Squad, where you're sitting on top of a car going, pop, 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 pop. Right?
Oh, that's fun.
So yeah, Daredevil was great for the first 6 episodes. Kind of tuned out and started playing Diablo 3.
Okay, well, I'm glad you have. There was something there you enjoyed.
Yeah,
cool. And that's it for this week. Again, like we mentioned at the top of the show, no X8 episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
But so maybe next week we'll do 6 and 7.
Next week also is episode 6 of all the anime we're watching.
Is it?
Yeah, because I just watched episode 5 of everything.
Oh, okay.
So I wanna come back with a 6 episode recap of how our the anime we are following are going.
Okay.
I think I might try and watch 6 episodes of Keijo in a row.
I just thought about episode 5 of Keijo and oh my god.
All right. Yeah. See you guys next week.
Yeah. Bye.